We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Is Gresh and Fourier.
White catches, fires, hit for three. Tatum has his very first playoff triple-double now with that assist. There's another three-point barrage. Six players in double figures, and they take game one.
It's that time.
Gresh and Fourier right now on WEEI.
Rolling along here at 10 o'clock. Here we go. Your 25 minutes commercial-free begins now, and good Lord, Fourier. Where do we begin?
Yeah, I was.
What a weekend!
I know. So I was curious what highlight, because we only play one highlight.
Yep.
Okay. During the open, Nick would play. He went basketball. Now, did you go basketball because that was the
most recent one?
The most recent one. Okay, but not because it was the most important one.
No, the Bruins was far more important.
Okay. Well.
Ooh.
Yeah,
interesting take coming out of the shoot.
I mean, really, just right out the gate. We didn't have that on the sheet. Where'd that come from?
I do believe that in terms of the matter of importance, there is way less consternation about the Boston Celtics compared to the Bruins. And so let's just start with the C's, because yesterday they beat the Heat by 20 over at the Garden. And if you just look at the score at the end of the game, Fourier, it's the, oh, yeah, that's what we thought would happen, is the Celtics would win pretty comfortably and all that. But it was a bit of a roller coaster of a game. Celtics jumped up early, 12-0. Then you saw Miami kind of crawl back into it. Then in the second quarter, here comes some of the guys off the bench, and it extends the lead a little bit. And then in the third, we get a little bit of pushback from Miami, but ultimately the Celtics kind of pull away. So you look at the 20-point victory for the C's and think it was smooth sailing, when in reality there were some bumps along the road.
I mean, it got a little, Harry at the end in the fourth quarter, and you knew that's the case, because if you just listen to Doris Burke, I mean, she's going to tell you that the Heat are not going away. No, the Heat are not going away. The Heat are not. Thank you, Doris. We know they're not going away. They're built different. We get it. Heat culture, blah, blah, blah. Listen, the way the game started, I thought was great, okay? I thought it was great. Even if you look at just who scored the buckets. So Jaylen Brown gets the first two buckets. And then it goes Porzingis. Then it goes Tatum. Then it goes Holiday. Almost every single starter got a shot off.
Everybody jumped in from the very beginning.
So sure enough, Spoelstra calls a timeout, and I don't even know if you noticed this or not. He was like, that was unbelievable. That he was like clapping his hands, almost mocking how quickly they got out and how fast they started and how easy it was from a team that hasn't played a meaningful game, like meaningful, since when? I don't even know when the last meaningful game they played.
Two and a half weeks, something like that.
Whenever they were
getting ready to close it out, and even then it was more fait accompli. I'm with you. When I saw Spoelstra's face on that timeout, what was it, 9-0, and he called the timeout, it was almost as if he was grinning.
Yeah.
It was almost as if Spoelstra was like, well, there's the first 2 minutes of this game that I expected, so let's call the timeout, calm it down, and go from there. And it did work. They did calm down. Miami did kind of claw their way at least back in it a little bit in the first quarter, because they were getting blitzed in the first 2-3 minutes of this game. But I'm with you. It was almost as if Spoelstra was kind of chuckling and being like, all right, here we go.
You could almost see, like, you could almost kind of dissect his, like, message to the team. Hey, guys, we know they're great.
Mm-hmm.
We know they're awesome. Ooh, it's the Celtics. Look at all the records they broke. Hey, you know, that is what he is selling them. That's the meat that is being thrown to them to get them hungry, to make them fight, because they're not even close to being nearly as talented as this team. It's not even close.
Well, and without Jimmy Butler, they're just a different group. That means Tyler Hero, whatever they call him now, he's got to be the number one guy, and he struggled, obviously. And then there was the foul from Caleb Martin late in the game. What did you make of that hard foul on Jason Tatum?
Okay, so Jaylen Brown warned you. Jaylen Brown warned you. Okay, last week when they were doing the whole like preview and everybody was talking, Nick, real quickly, this is what Jaylen Brown said last week about the playoffs.
We've never even been there. So you're thinking about the end goal and you're like rubbing your stomach. You know, teams are, you know, that's how they get you. So you got to have that high level of alertness. You got to have that high level of like survival at all times.
Okay. So one, it absolutely was a dirty play. Spoelstra absolutely checked his players at the, minute 30 mark. And to Scal's credit, he called him out and said it was a code red. And that is what you're going to get with the Heat. The Heat.
The code red. I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
You're goddamn right I did.
He doesn't like the way his team is playing. He feels like they're getting punked. And God forbid you punk them. This is a guy that was brought up like in the Pat Riley system. And this is their mentality.
Yeah, it's worked.
You know, and it's worked. And God bless them. So when I was, wow, listen, Jaylen Brown told you, if you want to beat the Heat, you have to deal with this. You have to fight them. You literally have to consider yourself in a fight because they're not going away. And then their coach is going to call a timeout, shame his players, and then they're going to go out and do something dirty or cheap or Heat culture-ish, whatever the hell they call it.
Yep.
It's the whole, you know, make them feel you. That's the whole Van Gundy mentality, and Spoelstra's part of that also. So you shouldn't be surprised. And do you think Tatum was surprised? Or how quickly he jumped up?
No, I don't think Tatum was surprised. I think now Jason Tatum has kind of gotten to the point to where I'm the best player. I'm having a hell of a night. We're kind of smacking this team around a little bit. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that happens to superstars.
But this is what they're going to do to the Heat. I mean, this is what the Heat are going to do to the Celtics. They're going to challenge them physically.
Yeah, they're going to try to muck it up.
Yeah, they're not. And they've been, and it's worked for them every single year, especially last year. The zone didn't work yesterday. Just raining threes left and right. They have no answer for Porzingis, you know. And other than who was the guy in the fourth quarter who went nuts and just hitting three-pointer after three-pointer? I don't even know the guy's name. He was like just a random dude that was hitting three-pointers like crazy. I got to find his name.
Well,
now.
Look, in the end, it doesn't matter who was hitting three-pointers for Miami because they can't beat this Celtics team without Jimmy Butler. It was pretty evident last night. There were two things in there that you said. One is they can't handle Porzingis. They just don't have an answer for old Zinger. And number two is they don't have that guy they can count on offensively. They knew they could turn to Jimmy Butler to either put the ball in his hands to get something going, or he would make something happen close and late. They don't have anything like that now. So the only thing really that Miami has left is to try to goon it up. They got to slow the game down. They got to play physical, and they're going to have to try to literally shrink the game the best they can. And if the Celtics get rolling or they're making shots or they're cleaning up the glass, there's really nothing Miami is going to be able to do. And it's not that they're not mentally equipped to be able to win. It's not that they're not coached well enough to be able to win. They don't have their version of Jason Tatum. And Jimmy Butler off that roster, they're just an average team. And the Celtics can't, you know, the Celtics can't allow Miami to get any kind of confidence in this series whatsoever. I'm not saying it's got to be a sweep, but this should be 4-1 when it's all said and done. I give Miami maybe a game at home. Maybe they find a way to steal one. Like, remember when KD was in Brooklyn a couple years ago and the Celtics beat, or I mean, they beat the Celtics, I think it was 4-1, but Tatum had the one game where it was like, holy crap, okay. He was able to help them stave off elimination, but ultimately you knew what was going to happen. That's what I feel like could happen here. Maybe Miami steals a game, but ultimately we know the Celtics are winning this series.
Yeah, they're just, you know, I just don't see. They don't have, they're lacking so much skill because of Jimmy Butler. And who's the other guy? The guard.
Tyler Hero?
No, he's
Terry
out.
Terry Rozier.
Terry Rozier is out. So you got two of their important guys that are out. They don't shoot a lot of free throws. They don't get to the rim a lot. They just – and so the guy that I was talking about was DeLon Wright, who goes 5-for-5 in the fourth quarter. 5-for-5, 5 threes attempted, 5 threes made.
Yep.
I mean, Tyler Herro has cannot get free because Drew Holiday is all over him. And that's I mean, it's just there's – and Derek White barely did anything in the first half.
So DeLon Carter was like Hauser. He hit some shots that kind of mattered, and then it was done.
Hauser misses his first two shots, and then he proceeds to hit his next three. I'm one for one. That's all that matters.
Oh, really?
I'm one for one.
Why don't you
– first game,
you
I told
me,
you he'll play it every single
Tell me all about Al Horford's day then yesterday.
I wasn't worried about Al Horford. I'm focusing on my guy.
Well, that's the wager. That's the battle between us back and forth, which Nick has saved the audio on.
No.
Knowing that you would try to divert away a little bit.
No, there was
I think your exact words were, Al Horford will have no impact.
Oh, God, that's not even true. I didn't say he had no. I said Hauser's impact would be greater, but the real bet is that Hauser will play in every single game. He will play and get minutes in every single game.
Sure, we'll wait and find out
one
on that.
One for one.
You're one for one so far.
I'm one for one.
But the bench, and the bench turned out to be Hauser, Pritchard, and in this instance, Horford. Those guys came in off the bench and all did various things that contributed to the win.
All of them played
yesterday.
Really well.
All three of those guys off the bench. Even Pritchard was really, I mean, Pritchard kind of had a balanced line.
Yeah.
It was like 8 points, four assists, a couple of rebounds, or it might have been four rebounds and a couple of assists or something like that. And yeah, they rolled those guys in. This should be a series where you shouldn't, in theory, have to lean on just your top six guys really hard. This should be a series where you can go 8-9 deep. In theory, you should be able to, given the way I think this series is going to go and the fact that Miami is they're really trying to swim upstream with one arm.
They have to resort to the cheapness that technically is part of the Heat culture.
Well, it's Pat Riley's 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
If you can't beat them, then beat them up.
Yeah. Oh, listen, you guys, I can just imagine what Spoelstra was saying to his team, you know, at the whatever it was, the minute 30 mark. You want to go out like that? You want them to punk you like that? You're just gonna take it? The fact is that all those guys should have been out of the game anyways. But the fact that one dude went crazy in the fourth quarter, hit all those threes, they brought him back into the game.
Hey,
he stayed in the game.
It really is a learning lesson for the Celtics of the whole, like you just sort of naturally said, yeah, none of the good players should have been in the game. No, that's something that the Celtics need to maybe eliminate a little bit, is you got to leave everybody in. Don't let people back in the game. That 12-0 run early is a perfect example of that. You're thinking, wow, they're going to blow doors. By the end of the first quarter, it kind of at least become respectable. Whereas in the first couple of minutes, the Celtics, to me, just completely ran them over. Good morning to the Twitchers and the YouTubers and you texting in and on Twitter as well. You can watch us do the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, or just go to YouTube, type in WEEI, and the live stream will pop right up for you. You can text us at 37937. Well, on Saturday, the Bruins foyer smacked Toronto 5-1 and jumped up. I won't say jumped up early, but by the time the third period came around, you felt really good about the way the Bruins played. And I thought the big takeaway from the Bruins game for me was that Toronto tried to play the way the Bruins can or do. Toronto tried to get physical with Boston, and in the process of doing that, I think they kind of take themselves sort of out of their game or the way they need to play to most be successful. Not all the time can the opponent say, sure, we're good enough that we'll play your style, and we'll beat you in doing so. That wasn't the case. I thought the Bruins were, well, there was a combined 100 hits in this game or something like that. Toronto can't try to be physical with the Bruins. The Bruins have the ability to flip that switch and can still score whenever they need to beat people up.
So I want to say, I was just trying to confirm, I thought it was like a 48, something like 48 hits in the first period, which I think tied a record in the regular season for hits in the first period.
Yeah, it just flew.
So there
around.
Was just obviously that, and it was against, it was just, and it was Toronto Bruins also. So obviously there's no love between these two teams. Good. I like it that way. Toronto's goalie, Samsonov, and I know we'll talk to Razor at 11:20 to do a recap and a preview, but he was horrible, and your goalie was great. I guess I'll ask you this question now, because it seems to be the biggest storyline before the regular season ended and before the first game of the series started.
And in theory, we will hopefully know here before we're done at 2 o'clock the question you're about to ask.
Were you surprised that Swayman got the start?
No, not at all, because Swayman had done well in the regular season against Toronto, and I think it's pretty easy to be able to leave him in there tonight. The guy was fantastic in game one. The fact that they haven't told us what the plan is does create some outside chatter, but it's the smartest thing that Montgomery could do for either one of Swayman or Allmark. Don't come out and say, yes, here's the plan. Like, in Foxborough now, they would tell you everything. They'd lay it all for you, because that's the way they're doing things down there now. But in reality, the way the Bruins have handled this goalie situation, yeah, there's mystery around it, but I don't know. I think tonight's pretty simple. You roll Swayman back out there, and you have to take into account the success that he's had against them in the regular season.
Yeah, okay. We're still contemplating.
That's
right. You know, like, what's the right way to go?
Mm-hmm. Bull crap. Okay, he's not a good liar.
Here's the thing, though.
And he doesn't need to be a great liar. That's fine. As long as you're winning, Montgomery is never going to catch the kind of hell that others would for maybe fibbing to us.
So, his reasoning for why he started Swayman was different than the reason why you say he started. Mm-hmm. Do you have that, Nick? I'm going to play that real quick.
No, Swayman hadn't had the opportunity to start a series before in the last couple of years, and we want to see him start a series, see how we'd handle it. And he did really well.
Great.
To answer the second part of the question, I haven't thought that far ahead.
Okay, So it had nothing to do with how well he played against Toronto?
Which, you know why it's a smart answer? Because if whomever they play in the next round, if Allmark has the better record, and you're on record in the round before being like, well, you put Swayman in there because he had a great regular season against so-and-so, if you run up against another team where the other guy that you might not be intending to play has the better numbers, you haven't come out and sort of boxed yourself in a little bit. We even have some Twitchers who are like, why do they have to say, and who there's no benefit to telling or not telling? And that really is true. More for anything else, it's just so that Jim Montgomery doesn't have to do verbal gymnastics and explaining away why something might run counter to what was publicly announced as the plan.
So Montgomery makes the right call,
yeah.
Starts the right guy, gets the win. Everybody's happy. You give your excuses. You're real cryptic and secretive about who's going to start game two, which is tonight, obviously. So how can you really, move away from him in game two? How can you do it, right? He's hot. He's playing great. Don't change a thing. Well, with that being said, in my Gerard Mayo-like, voice, if I could do a Gerard Mayo voice, I haven't figured it out yet. This is the plan, though. Isn't the plan to swap, to alternate, to go back and forth?
No.
Like, so is the plan just to eventually play the other guy, but there's no real system to it at all? So if Swayman is just hot and playing great, he plays the entire series and Allmark gets no starts.
I'm not so sure about that. I don't even know if that is the case. It feels like they have an idea going into this series as to what they might like to do, but I don't think anything is set in stone. And this is now, I brought this up on Friday. This is now year two of Swayman Allmark. We're pushing, 180 games or whatever with these guys. I don't think it's going to affect them the way it would a normal goalie. This has been the setup. I think what we're looking for is, well, the Bruins had a unique setup. However, come the postseason, I want them to do what makes me as a fan feel comfortable, which would be announce who you're going with, box yourself in, make it more verbal gymnastics to get around it when you have to or whatever. But boy, if you fans feel better about it, then hey, that's the way we got. No, I don't think they've got to operate that way at all. These two guys, I'm not saying they're not goalie weirdos and stuff like that because they're like golfers, but they're used to this. I think we on the outside are making a way bigger deal than what it means to Swayman and Ullmark, because for 2+ years now, they both played well under this kind of setup.
No,
so why are we panicking now?
No, I'm not. My thing is like, listen, hey, well, if this is the plan, ultimately, if you're committed to rotating them,
mm-hmm.
with no real decided like schedule. There's no, hey, listen, guys, there's no schedule. But you're going to play. I don't know when you're going to play, but you're absolutely going to start at one point in time. And regardless of how well the other guy plays, if Swayman stands on his head and he gets a shutout and he's back-to-back, does he just physically need a break so you have to kind of spell him? Because you don't want him to get mentally worn out because the playoffs are so long.
Well,
hey, I'm doing this for you. Hey, don't be mad at me. I know you're on a heater right now, but I got to give you a break.
Well, the playoff schedule ties into being able to give guys the kind of rest they need to where for me, it isn't a problem. You're not going back-to-back in the playoffs. The bigger question that I have is, say you go to a 2-overtime game. And you play an extra period and a half or so. Is that one where they have planned of the, yes, even though we can give you the rest, you were able to grind it out during an overtime game. Now we're going to go the other way. Something of that nature where it becomes a playtime stamina wear down type issue. I'd like to see that as to how the Bruins would handle it. But maybe it is a bigger deal to those on the outside, and the calls are lining up. 617-779-7937. Who was more impressive in their game one win, the Celtics or the Bruins? And I don't know, is there worry about what they're going to do at goaltender tonight? Does that keep you up at night? We will get into that. We will get into the Bruins. The Red Sox, they swept Pittsburgh. What that means, who knows? We will get to all of that as well.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI. Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
This show will be in Detroit starting Wednesday. Short show on Thursday because of Red Sox baseball. Thanks, Cleveland. And then
all the freaking weeks and all the days to have a short day.
It's unbelievable.
The day of the draft.
Come on, Cleveland.
Major League Baseball. I blame baseball in general.
Oh, no. The team set the times.
Team sets the time?
Well, they have say in it. Remember, there were many a team bitching and moaning about having to play a game in Fenway Park at 7 o'clock at night and then, you know, had to turn around and get out of town and fly across the country and play the next day and all that stuff. Oh, yeah. They can do some niceties, let's put it that way. I don't know what Cleveland's off to a great start, but I don't know what they're doing attendance-wise, so maybe they need to have Brown's got a big draft. They gave away all their first-rounders for a sex offender.
They're like, we don't need it.
A potential.
Nobody's talking about it in our city.
Yeah.
Our guy's coming back.
You know what it is? It's interesting around here because everybody has just kind of resigned themselves to the fact of the whole, they'll just take whatever third guy's left and here we go. And, you know, they'll parade him out on Friday in front of everyone and, you know, have the jersey.
Oh, right? They already have.
Will the jersey say number 3 on it or will it say number 1 on it? Will it be
it'll have number 1
because it's the first round
pick. Yes, yes. Yeah. He hasn't really. Yeah, you wouldn't put like the draft number on. Hey, number 16, the 16th pick.
Or do they just give him the number 10 right away?
What was it Ben Watson and Vince Wilfork, they both had the number 1, right?
I think
I'm
so.
Sure,
that's
they both
a good
had
question.
Both number 1 picks.
One jersey might have been a little wider than the other one. I don't know if they were size appropriate or anything like that. You can text us at 37937. Billy, a 508 texter is requesting that you throw the winning NASCAR result in trending on Monday mornings. Sure. I figured
you would. See how easy that was?
Nah, Billy's
like, it's like your own little personal suggestion box. Sure, I got it. Yeah, fun.
You tell him to get his own radio station, then he can do his own training.
Hey, that's the Billy I know. I was amazed that he was like, sure. And I'm going to be like, geez, I don't really care who won
this stupid
race.
Welcome back from vacation, Billy.
Yeah, I took him.
Can I have that program director's number, please?
It was.
Hey, Billy, where did Tiger finish?
And by the way, it was Tyler.
Was a good one.
It was.
Did I tell you that one?
What's that?
Guy called me up. He's like, I don't know why you're not saying where Tiger Woods is in this tournament.
Was that last week?
Yeah, he goes, that's the only reason people are listening to the Masters scores. I go, well, when he's in the top 10, I'll let you know.
Yeah, the people who gambled on Scottie Scheffler weren't paying attention.
Right, like if you're looking for Tiger Woods, like you can Google it. You know what I mean? Like if that's. You're relying on me to tell you where Tiger Woods is. That's your problem.
It's like tuning into the news to find out what the weather is when you can just look at your phone.
Tiger Woods tied for 25th. Like, come on, buddy.
Nightlight 0216 NASCAR. Why would we do that for? Oh, I don't know. They only get 100,000 people in New Hampshire every year for a race. So
I think that's
pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know. The WNBA would love to have 100,000 people show up for a day or. Even the
Messi's coming to town this weekend. I got that in the trend.
Oh,
is that this weekend?
Is that this
Saturday
weekend?
At Gillette.
Oh, I'm supposed to go to that game.
You wait, what?
Yes,
supposed to go
I have
to.
I'm trying to figure out if I acted like I wanted to go, and then they didn't have enough money for tickets or something like that. I was like, oh, bummer. But one of those things. I think I'm supposed to be going. That game is a big.
Are you going
to
be in town?
Here's the thing. No, we'll be back Friday. I don't think he's playing.
I always remember there was a thing like, oh, he won't play on this turf, but I assume that you got to play him.
No. Like I think he has something in his contract that he only plays on natural grass. So I think a lot of people are getting excited because if you look at any game that he plays in, no matter where he goes, they sell it out, completely sell it out. So he's going to – and I got an alert because, I like to take
Providence
the back
Sherman
exit.
From last year, Messi will play.
Okay.
Wait, who had
now
that, Nick?
Providence Journal.
Providence Journal.
Okay, yeah.
Whoa, can we trust it?
No. No,
I don't know.
Cannot. Whatever AI bot wrote that a year ago, I don't know if they had him check again or something,
so
allegedly.
They told me, hey, listen, don't try to come in through the back entrance. We're not going to let you through this time.
What, you try to go through the back door?
All the time, whenever it's available. As long as there's a free pass, somebody's letting me go. I'm quick, though. I go right through.
You get in and out of there?
In and out as fast as possible. No but the only time that I've ever had, like, some of the cops, like, kind of like, hey, listen, just so you know, that Taylor Swift concert, they're not letting anybody in. Oh, no, it was Army-Navy. Army-Navy, they said, listen, you can't come through the back door.
Oh, well, it's the military.
You know, yeah, it was the military.
Shutting that down.
And Messi. The only two times in I don't know how many years since I've been done going through that entrance, cops every time.
Can't you just go through where the construction area is on the Chuck E. Cheese for the players' wives and children next year?
No, that's a tunnel that they're building underneath.
Oh,
I had to give them. So they're
going
to get a special
secret tunnel for
secret
that.
Secret tunnel, like the Bat Cave. You know, the cave like opens up and the Batmobile rolls in there. That's what it's going to be like for friends and family. And then, it's like, oh, there's Chuck E. Cheese. There's Mickey Mouse. Yeah, we talked to Disneyland. They're letting us use them.
My God.
Gresh, was yesterday the Geico 500?
I'm
just trying to make sure I get the right result for this guy.
I think it was at Talladega yesterday.
Thank
you. So that.
Are you really adding that?
Huh? I'm sure he is.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Plus, Tyler Reddick won. He's one of the great young drivers.
Now, I should probably take out that the Celtics won to replace him with NASCAR, right?
No.
Yeah.
No, leave out who's going to be the starting goaltender tonight, Billy.
Next trending, NASCAR and soccer.
There we
Strap
go. Oh, man.
Yeah, then maybe sprinkle in some college football. I don't know, but, West Coast college football.
You know what? It's funny. Y'all were talking
spring
about
games, spring games and scrimmages.
Yeah.
Up.
Hey, bingo. Did you see what Texas did in their spring game?
Yeah.
Arch Manning threw a ball to a wide open guy. Get ready.
Wide open. I think he was playing against the scout team.
I think Ness and Saturday noon for me at UMass.
we land on
Friday night and Saturday morning.
Oh,
heading out to UMass for the spring game or whatever. Yeah, we were outside 2 years ago in the sun, and I was cooking. Oh, man. Not like it was super hot, but it's just the sun beating down. They're like, hey, you might want to wear a jacket. Oh, God.
Like a jacket, dress-up jacket?
Yeah. Like on that year that last year, I think they just kind of put us in the booth, and it was like, all right, talk over this. It's really – that's all the spring games are. It's just like talk over this and, make sure it's presentable for air, basically. But – But yeah, Saturday, spring game. Here we go. Off the plane Friday night, getting home, bingo bango, turn around, drive to Amherst.
Well, Arby's on the way home. I'm going to watch soccer.
You're going to find out if you're going to watch soccer.
I don't even know if I got a ticket.
To the Bruins and the Celtics with you at 617-779-7937. Oh, yeah, that's right. Michael Jordan was actually at that NASCAR race celebrating. It was the first
time that he saw that.
Yeah, so Jordan.
He owns a car?
Well, actually, Jordan and a guy who is currently racing for another team, Denny Hamlin, are the car owners of 2311 Racing, and they Reddick ends up winning this race. They show Jordan. It was the first time Jordan was at the track when the team won. He even joked in the post-race interview that he was like, "Oh, I thought I was the bad luck." And meanwhile, Tyler Reddick wins a race. He's got the Jordan brand on the car. He rolls into pit lane, and Michael Jordan hands his kid to him winning the race.
That's the clip I saw.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
hold this.
Yeah. Like, little-ass Tyler Reddick, who's like 5'4", maybe, or something. Big-ass Michael Jordan there hands him his kid and then daps him up for winning the race. Pretty crazy. I mean, imagine that. That's a, you know, you've been around a lot of famous people before, right? But it would be like young Caleb winning the Super Bowl and there's Tom Brady there to be like, "Hey, congratulations." You know what I mean? Like that level of star. You're rolling out and there's freaking Michael Jordan standing there.
I had this thought like, "Oh man, since we're going to be out in the draft, like, wow, it'd be great if they let me announce the second round pick." With the second pick in the second round, the New England Patriots select Caleb Fourier. All right, this is awesome.
Oh, my God. You would just railroad it.
Just awesome.
They drag you off the stage. Well, they have to do
too late. You can't take it back.
I was mistaking him for coitus.
Remember the gong show back in the day when they'd have the big giant hook to pull people off stage? All of a sudden, Chuck Barris has got to come out with the big hook and like try to pull you off.
They would never give me that. They would know I would just screw around with it anyways.
I think you should do it in the Glenn Ordway voice.
Yeah, somebody on Twitch was like, "Yeah, you know, my Gerard Mayo voice is just going to be Glenn Ordway voice," which is fine. All of them turn into him anyways. It's like a way to keep his name alive and relevant.
Oh, Lord. Mark in Medford on the B's and the C's. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for letting me do the combo here. First on the Celtics, could Caleb Martin have avoided that kind of contact with Jason Tatum? Because when he did pop back up, you heard the 20,000 collective people breathe a sigh of relief, because I know I did watching it on TV. And by the way, if the Celtics are sweeping this series, Miami has no business even winning a game in this series. And on the Bruins, when did the 2011 Bruins show up? Okay, and what was the crap that Max Domi pulled at the end of that game with the puck? Are you serious?
That's interesting, Mark. When did the 2011 Bruins showed up? Because that was a hell of a performance. At the end, I don't know. I don't want to ignore it, but I don't know really in terms of how to answer that. And if we are being real about it, I would say the Bruins series should go no more than 6 and the Celtics series should go no more than 5. And I'm not saying they're just going to dispose of them easily per se. That doesn't mean it's all going to be blowouts and all 20-point wins and all 4-goal wins. But I just can't see the Bruins or the Celtics losing, especially after what we saw in game 1.
No, that's worst case scenario. I agree with you. You know, but Niederminder?
I'm sorry, what was that again?
Niederminder? What's the guy that didn't play for the Toronto?
You mean
for Toronto?
William Nylander?
Nylander.
Yeah. Niederminder.
No, the guy, that's
he
the guy.
He has been retired for about 10 or 15 years.
No, you know who I was thinking of?
Joe Manischewitz.
No, I was thinking of Animal House. That's the Niederminder.
No,
what's his name?
Niedermeyer.
Niedermeyer, yeah.
He's like the head of the military corps guys.
Yeah, that's the guy I was thinking of. I don't know why.
There's nothing to see here. Yeah. Everything is under control.
Dad in the Twisted Sister videos.
Yeah, exactly. The same dude.
Oh, man. And people still think that Chuck Barris was legit CIA. Billy, are you on that? The old host of the Gong Show is a CIA operative.
Never heard it before.
Oh, you didn't? No. Oh, it's
a whole movie about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's full of crap. But at the end of the day,
I love.
Did you see the text we just got?
I know. Ken sending me a text, please. It's Nylander.
I know. Nylander. Good Lord.
I got to go to the office. He wants me to go talk. He wants to talk to me now.
I was just going
to
say.
I'm in trouble again. I know where HR is.
It's because it's a hockey name.
Is that why he's so protective of it?
Yep.
Okay.
Plus, the Bruins had a Michael Nylander years ago.
But isn't it funny if the guys, you know, you screw up his name on purpose?
It would be funny if you were remotely close to it.
Ken just put in the Twitch chat, accuracy matters.
Okay.
Here's
how do you pronounce it?
Well, but that's the thing.
Getting accuracy.
If people don't know how to pronounce it, then who do they know who's accurate? What if Ken's wrong? I'm just saying. Oh, he's dead. Sorry. We're not allowed to do that anymore on Twitter. There is a Patriot who is hanging around Foxborough still, who willingly wants to be here in a different role. And what have I said to you, ladies and gentlemen, that a major streaming platform was going to do the roast of a former New England Patriot? Could it be a coach? Could it be a player? Who's it going to be? You'll find out next.
Now, more Gresh and Fauria
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
News of the weekend coming up at 11 o'clock. Some of the other stuff that maybe deserves a little bit of time from over the weekend. Then what we'll carve out some room for. Andrew Raycroft joins us at 11:25. Then, of course, we'll get some picks as well coming up. Then at noon, right back into it with you on these phones. But Foyer, I wonder if an invitation will be coming your way. Netflix today announced the roast of Tom Brady will air live and unedited Sunday, May 5th, 8 p.m. Your thoughts?
Ooh, I'm down for it. Okay. But as soon as you said that, all I could think of is Julian Edelman going, oh, can I go? Oh, me. Can I be? I'm going to do it. Like, there's not a guy that is more thirsty in being part of Tom Brady's life.
100.
Like, every last thing about his life is Tom Brady related.
Yep.
You're everything.
Yep, absolutely.
So, of course, Gronk, but he's got his own life, and Gronk doesn't seem nearly as needy as Edelman does with Brady.
Agreed.
Zod.
You know what it is? It feels like with Edelman, he either isn't completely comfortable with himself or he's not comfortable completely with what he has become because he clearly would want to be Tom Brady. Whereas with Gronk owns it. He has his own personality. He's connected to Brady, but he's not thought of as being Tom Brady light.
Or and obsessed with him.
Yeah, I feel like that's where Edelman...
obsession with it.
Old Bubs has morphed into the guy who is... Remember in the old cartoons, they would have the big dog and the little dog.
Yeah.
Or if you watched,
Mike, yeah.
Or if you watched A Christmas Story, there was, what was it? It was not Flick, but Scott Farkas and his little guy.
His little buddy.
Yeah, the little buddy feels
Scott
like Edelman.
Farkas. Yeah. You pulled that out of your ass.
Yeah.
Out of all the things.
I watch that movie
Scott
every year.
Farkas.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite movies, A Christmas Story. Everybody hates it. They're idiots.
But you're right, though. It's almost like its own version of it's like single white female in reverse.
Definitely.
It's just totally different. And you're going to see it. Like when he looks at Brady, he looks at him like he wants to tie him up and like only interact with him down in his basement.
The Julian Edelman story. I'm Tom's little buddy. There you go. And that's really where it kind of begins and ends. So the roast of Tom Brady will be on May 5th. Hopefully Curtis will
Cinco
be able
de Mayo.
To, hopefully Curtis will be able to watch it and be okay. I know he is a big Tom Brady fan.
Most people are. Here's the thing. You know, you've seen these roasts, right? Obviously.
Oh,
you've seen them, right?
In the Netflix one, I actually had somebody hit me up on Twitter at The Real Gresh and said, "Oh, I went to see Tony Hinchcliffe in Nashville this weekend and he was working out jokes."
On Brady.
Yeah.
Really?
So,
okay.
And Tony Hinchcliffe, if you've ever seen the show Kill Tony, Oh, my God. Very funny stuff. And it's kind of a no holds barred.
Okay, so I was going to say.
Which there would be a lot of people. Let's put it this way. The streaming of Kill Tony in Massachusetts would be very light because too many people would be offended by the comedy in it.
So what would be the taboo topic if you're a comic and you listen, you go raw dog on this one. You go as crazy as you want. Okay, yeah. No holds barred. What's the one topic that you're really trying to
find
really
too close
hit
to
him?
The sun with Brady?
Yeah, like what is like, because what is there like really where it's like, there's nothing really bad. Okay. I mean, I guess you know, failed marriage, you know, something to do with craft, you know, a kid out of wedlock. I mean, what is it?
Can't put
his face near a radiator.
Well, there you go. Now we're talking. Well, okay, so, is that your real hair? Was that cleft there before a Super Bowl, or did you add it after the third Super Bowl?
Going to be a ton of stuff about the face work he's gotten.
I would think so.
Okay,
the face work. The defying
losing to Eli twice.
Defying time.
Eli will be there.
Yep. Defying time. Losing to Eli. Definitely the kid out of wedlock and the marriage
thing.
But
even that's
drunk
like,
on the boat with Tampa.
Oh yeah, hammered on the championship trophy boat or whatever that was. Or he's leaning hard against that guy.
I guess you know I'm with Billy. If I'm gonna lean into one area more than others, it's not really the kid. Whatever. Oh, Giselle and her karate kung fu guy.
There's a little bit of that. Yeah, yeah. I would say Brady dancing at the parade because was there anything whiter than that?
The Guerrero massages.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Hold on.
That relationship is going to be on point during this.
No, but doesn't Alex have to get a spot on the dais of Rippin' Brady? Doesn't he have to get in there?
No, he's not a front man. He's not, and his jokes would suck. No, he's got to take a back seat.
Do you have to allow Randy Moss on the dais to rip Brady? Because he's one of those guys that wouldn't care. Because
the thing is, too, is when it comes to the people that aren't stand-ups, they have these meetings like before the show where they get the stand-ups write jokes for the people that aren't comedians.
Yeah.
So you can literally put anybody out there. It could be Guerrero. It could be Moss because there's going to be somebody. Moss is going to be like, hey, I have these jokes. And then like a professional will be like, all right, we'll polish it up this way.
I'm dead serious. I am dead ass when I ask this question. Is Robert Kraft there?
Absolutely.
Are you kidding me?
Is there a red carpet?
Is there a microphone and a TV? Is anyone from the Dynasty Part 11 going to be there?
Yeah.
We're going to add. The question is.
No,
I have two questions for you.
I know well, the one you're going down.
Is
I
Bill
think.
There?
No.
Okay. I don't think so either.
Not a chance.
The other one.
However, he might send in a video that they can bounce back with.
He's not going to be any part of this. It's completely beneath him. Remember, he wants to be a coach again.
Jim Gray.
Jim Gray. He'll be there.
Good job by the texter Dubs.
Is Scratchy going to be there?
Oh,
Scratchy's going to want to tell some jokes.
Scratchy beat out Curtis to host it. That's what it is. That's the easy way to get Jim Gray in there. Do you really want Jim?
Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks, Scratchy.
Yeah. Do you really want Jim Gray going to the podium where they're like, "Ladies and gentlemen, somebody who's known Tom Brady a long time and the rest of the world hates. Here's Jim Gray, everybody."
Yeah,
absolutely correct.
And I can just see Jim going like this. He's going up. He's like crying, Tommy, they made me do it,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to tell jokes about you, Tommy, but they're making me do it.
Edelman's.
You're ugly. You're not a good tipper. Oh, my God.
Don't fire me, please.
Please, let me be part of your life still. Mm-hmm. Edelman, he'll be the same way. I don't want to do it, Tommy. I don't want to do it, but they're going to make me do it. They said if I did it, I could hang out with you.
A texter, Deflategate, how many blown-up ball jokes are we going to get? Actually, it would be good if the deflator were there. That would actually be kind of funny. They dragged that guy.
Spygate jokes, too.
Yeah. I think Billy rented an Airbnb this weekend from the deflator up there in New Hampshire.
May or may not have.
Yeah. Oh, and Matthew Slater is sticking around to join Gerard Mayo's staff. Why?
Well, I think this is a great move for both sides.
I do too.
I think it's excellent. He'll be great. He's just, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be the chaplain. I don't know if he's going to be like, just a mentor. I don't know what his actual title is going to be, but this is the guy I want next to me.
No, I would agree that I think having Matthew Slater around is never, ever a bad idea. Never. I'm with you. It might be the first real thing they've done down there where everybody is like, okay, now that really makes sense.
The question is, like, if I'm Slater, like, do I have to actually coach do I have to be in there? I don't want to sit in on meetings. Like, I want a normal work
schedule.
Well,
you don't think he wants
to be there at 9. I'm going to leave at 5.
He doesn't want to coach up people on the new kick return rules and stuff like that?
I don't know if that's going to be his. Well, I guess we don't know what his role is going to be.
But
we'll find out on draft day. If Gerard is going, no, yes, no, yes.
I would also think that if you're Slater, can you help yourself? Because it's like, oh, this would be even new for me. He would have some ideas on it, I would think. But I think it's more
he's
of
like a support animal.
There you go. That's, I mean, and it sounds bad.
I mean,
but
listen.
No, really, it's true.
Whenever you tease Slater, I feel like you have to hurry up. It's like, sorry, Jesus. Sorry, God.
No,
he's awesome.
Yeah, even.
I was just kidding. I meant to make a joke, God. Please don't strike me with a bolt of lightning.
Oh, your phone just buzzed. Mama Fourier.
Oh, yeah,
already
she heard. Already
you
heard.
Already.
What'd you say about Slater?
That's right.
Ain't nobody say anything about Slater. You know I said you could make jokes about everybody on that team, but never Matthew Slater. Never.
Amen.
Never, ever. Now you get your – you apologize to Mr. Slater.
How was Mama Fourier's Sunday devotion? Was it a nice long
text yesterday? I didn't
get one. What?
I didn't get one. It's crazy. I called him on Sunday night, too. What the hell's going on? Somebody died.
That's when you know something's weird.
So something was up.
When there's no devotion in your text string.
No flowers. No, like, you know, prayer emoji hands. No, like, you know, rainbows and stuff like that.
None of it.
No.
Uh-oh.
It's like, wow.
Maybe Mama Fourier's giving up on you. She just realized
keep
you're
your distance. We're going to get hit by lightning with
you're
this
a
guy.
Heathen.
I said, sorry, I did not mean to take the name of Matthew Slater in vain. I didn't want to make a joke
Dear
about
Lord.
Slater.
Dear Lord, I did not mean to make fun of Matthew. Oh, man. The news of the weekend. Boy, do we have a lot to get to.
Oh, God, we got a lot.
Yep, we'll get to it next.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.